Today we continue our series on our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We do so by examining the third beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In this connection, I'd like to read with you from the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, the verses 1 through 11. Let us hear the word of God. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Dear friends, we come in our study of the Sermon on the Mount to the third beatitude. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There is a direct connection between this beatitude and the ones that precede it. The first beatitude is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The poor in spirit are those who have low thoughts of themselves. They have come to see that they are nothing and have nothing on account of their sin. They are deserving only of God's eternal wrath and condemnation. The second beatitude is, "Blessed are those who mourn." These are people who are perpetually downcast about their sins and their inability to do anything to become reconciled to God. The third beatitude is, "Blessed are the meek." Meekness is the result of being poor in spirit and mourning over your sin. The person who is poor in spirit and who mourns over his sin will also be meek. In fact, one cannot be meek unless one has first experienced poverty of spirit and unless he has learned to mourn over his sin. Now, like all of the Beatitudes, this Beatitude must have come as quite a shock to those who heard it for the first time. That is because many of the Jews of Jesus' day believed that the Messiah would be a great military leader who would lead them in a revolt against the Romans and establish an independent Jewish state. Consequently, they expected Jesus to preach about the need to be strong and powerful. After all, in their mind, the kingdom belonged to the strong, the powerful, and the defiant, not to the meek. And it's not much different today. Like the Jews of Jesus' day, people today do not regard meekness as a great virtue. The key to happiness, the key to success, we are told, is in asserting yourself. It is the strong, the powerful, the assertive, the influential who will inherit the earth, not the meek. But Jesus says the exact opposite. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This comes out even stronger in the original Greek. In the Greek, Matthew uses the emphatic pronoun. Literally, what Jesus is saying is, "Blessed are the meek, for they and they alone shall inherit the earth." Well, with the help of the Lord, we want to meditate on the words of our text under this theme, "Jesus blesses the meek." And we'll consider two thoughts. First of all, their identity, and secondly, their blessedness. Jesus here pronounces a blessing on the meek. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the first question that confronts us here is, who are these people? Who are the meek? Then, first of all, let us be clear on who they are not. The meek are not weak. That's often what we think. When we think of someone who is meek, we think of someone who is weak, wimpish, lacking in courage or boldness, someone who never takes a stand on anything, and who's always worried about what others think and say about him, who would rather suffer harm than do what is right. But that's not what is meant here. Meekness is not weakness. What then is it? What is meekness? Well, we get some indication of what meekness is from the psalm that we read together, Psalm 37. In this psalm, David encourages the righteous not to become bitter, not to become angry and resentful when they see the wicked prosper. And why should they not become bitter? Why should they not become angry and resentful? Well, David says, because ultimately they will perish. Look at what he says in verses 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The wicked will perish. Therefore, the righteous should not be resentful, should not be angry, should not be bitter when they see them prosper. But what about the righteous? What will happen to them? Well, David says they will inherit the earth. He says in verses 10 and 11, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, they shall perish, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Now here we have the exact words of our text. The meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus did not invent this beatitude himself. He borrowed it from Psalm 37. The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, who are the meek then? Well, David tells us in verses 3 through 7, they are those who trust in the Lord, verse 3. They are those who delight in the Lord, verse 4. They are those who commit their way unto the Lord, verse 5. They are those who rest in the Lord, verse 7. They are those who wait patiently for the Lord, also verse 7. In other words, the meek do not take matters into their own hands. They do not become bitter or angry or resentful at the circumstances of other people. They do not bear grudges. They do not seek revenge. They simply, humbly, and patiently look to the Lord and commit themselves unto Him. One commentator that I read says that meekness is power under control. The meek person has the potential to lash out. He has the potential to seek revenge or to take matters into his own hands, but he does not do so. Instead, he humbly, patiently looks to the Lord and commits himself unto him. Now, in ancient Greece, the word that Jesus uses here was used to describe a wild horse that had been broken. Before being broken, the horse is wild and untamed. But after he is broken, he is calm and controllable. He's still a horse. As such, he still has great power. But this power is under control. It is harnessed so that its rider can use this power in constructive ways. Well, such are the meek. The meek are those who are capable of lashing out and seeking revenge. In fact, in some cases, they have every right to do so. But they choose not to. Instead, they patiently and quietly submit. Now, there are several examples of this kind of attitude in the Scriptures. We think of Abraham. You may remember in Genesis 13, after Abraham and Lot returned from Egypt, that strife broke out between the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot. And rather than allow this to continue and fester, Abraham generously offered Lot to settle in any part of the land that he wanted. If Lot went to the right, he would go to the left. If Lot went to the left, he would go to the right. Well, what happened? Well, we read in the scriptures that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then we read, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Now notice what the text says. Lot chose all the plain of Jordan. He didn't say to Abraham, Abraham, the plain of Jordan is plenty big and fertile enough for both of us. Why don't you take some and I take some? No, he took it all for himself. And how did Abraham respond? Did he become bitter and angry and resentful? Did he spend the rest of his life plotting his revenge against Lot? No. He simply looked to the Lord and committed himself unto him. That is meekness. Or we can think of Moses. In Numbers 12, verse 3, we read that Moses was the meekest man above all the men who were on the face of the earth. That's quite a statement. And that statement is made in connection with the rebellion of Miriam and Aaron. One day, Miriam and Aaron rebelled against Moses after he had married a woman of Cush, ancient Ethiopia. Evidently, they were upset with Moses for marrying someone outside of the line of Shem, or so we assume. In their view, this disqualified him from being the leader of the people of Israel. So they went around saying to the people, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And as punishment for their sin, God afflicted Miriam with leprosy. And what is striking about this account is how Moses responded. He didn't fight back. He didn't seek to defend himself. Instead, he remained perfectly silent. He simply looked to the Lord and committed himself unto him. And the Lord vindicated him for it. He even prayed that the Lord would heal Miriam of her leprosy, which he also did. And that is meekness. The ultimate example of meekness is, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the soldiers came to arrest the Lord Jesus and bound him hand and foot, how did Jesus respond? Did he order his disciples to defend him? Did he pray to his Father to send 12 legions of angels? No, he could have. Instead, he looked to the Lord and committed himself unto him. When he stood before the high priest and later before Pilate and Herod, did he mount his spirited defense? No. He looked to the Lord and committed himself to him. When the soldiers mocked him and spat upon him and beat him and nailed him to the cross, did he at any time try to escape or defend himself in any way? No. He looked to the Lord and committed himself unto him. Speaking of Christ, the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Similarly, Peter in 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23 writes that Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Similarly, Paul in Philippians 2 writes that although Christ was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that's meekness. Meekness is not weakness. but it is a humble and at times silent submission to the will of God. It is a patient looking to the Lord and committing oneself to Him and to His care, and doing His will without murmuring, without complaining, no matter what the cost. Oh, my friend, does that describe you? If so, then that should manifest itself in various ways. In the first place, the truly meek person will not be proud. And that's because he has nothing to be proud of. The meek person knows himself. He knows that he is a sinner just like everyone else. And as a result, he is free of pride. In fact, he regards others as better than himself. Secondly, the truly meek person will not be overly defensive. Is that not a major weakness among people today? Also in the Church of Christ? Someone says something, even if it is in love, and we immediately get our backs up. We get defensive, and we tell the person to mind his or her own business, or we lash out with a criticism of our own. That's not meekness. The meek person is able to receive criticism without getting defensive. The meek person is able to say to the person who criticizes him, "You're absolutely right. I do have a weakness in that area. Tell me what I need to do in order to improve." And he can say that because he knows that he is a sinner. He knows that he is not perfect. And so when people tell him that, he doesn't get angry or defensive. He knows it all. His only concern is how to live more to the glory of God. Thirdly, and this stems from what we've just said, the truly meek person is ready to listen to others and to learn from others. Meekness always implies a teachable spirit. Why is that? Well, because we know that we do not have all the answers, and we are far from perfect ourselves. Therefore, we look to others. We look to our pastor. We look to our elders. We look to a fellow church member, a family member, a godly friend to teach us. We submit to the instruction and admonishment of others, even if it causes us pain, even if it is contrary to our own will and our own desires. Fourthly, the meek person never seeks revenge. That's because he believes that whatever happens to him in this life comes from the Lord and is somehow meant for our good, even the so-called bad things. And so rather than seek for revenge, the meek person is ready to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that he may not stand up for himself or defend himself when he is wrongly accused. Paul was meek, but after the civil authorities at Philippi beat and scourged him for preaching the gospel, when they sought to release him, Paul insisted that they open the prison themselves, for he was a citizen of Rome. But he didn't press charges. He did not seek to avenge himself on his enemies. Instead, he gave it over to the Lord. Now, these are just a few of the marks of someone who is truly meek. Let me ask you, are these marks evident in your life? Remember, meekness and all of the virtues mentioned in the Beatitudes ought to be characteristic of all Christians. Meekness is not an option. It is required. God desires and expects all of His children to be meek. As one writer says, "The Beatitudes are attitudes we are to be." Well, what about you? Are you meek? Well, make no mistake, we cannot make ourselves meek. Meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And the Spirit of God works that grace in our hearts by opening our eyes to see something of our poverty and our bankrupt state before God. He causes us to see that even our best works are as filthy rags before the Lord, and that if we are ever going to be saved at all, it must be by grace and grace alone. And when we see this, and not until then, we will become truly meek. We will become humble and gentle and mild, both in our relationship to God and in our relationship to our fellow man. And to be sure, this will not happen overnight. In some cases, learning meekness takes an entire lifetime. Nor will we always manifest this meekness. At times, our old nature will come to the surface and we will act in ways that are anything but meek. But where there is true faith, where the Lord has wrought a good work in our hearts, there will be at least the beginning of this meekness. The point is, meekness is not our work. It is the work of the Spirit of God. And at the same time, it is a grace that ought to be pursued and sought after. In Colossians 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul exhorts his readers to put on, as the elect of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, Peter exhorts women not to adorn themselves with outward things, with fancy hairdos and expensive jewelry and fashionable clothing, but with, he says, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The scriptures are clear. A Christian is someone who seeks for and pursues after meekness. Well, are you doing that? If so, then Jesus says you are blessed. And that brings me to my second point. Those who are meek are blessed. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So the blessedness of the meek is that they shall inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? What specifically is meant by the earth? Well, the word earth here could perhaps be better translated as land. So what Jesus is saying is that the meek will inherit the land. And that should remind us of something. That should remind us of the promise that God made to Abraham back in the Old Testament. Again and again in the Old Testament, God promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. Now, sadly, they never did, at least not completely. The closest they came to taking possession of the land was during the reigns of David and Solomon. But shortly afterwards, the land was taken away from them as punishment for their persistent idolatry. But the promise remains. All those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, still today, they will inherit the earth. You notice what Jesus says here. They will inherit it. Now that implies at least three things. It implies, first of all, they have a right to it. When someone inherits money or property, they have a legal right to it. Their name is written in the will of the person who passed away. And that means it can never be taken away from them. It is legally theirs. And such is also the case with the meek. The meek have a legal right to inherit the earth. A right that they do not have in and of themselves, of course, but a right that has been given to them by God through Christ. Secondly, this word inherit implies that they will receive it. If you have a legal right to something, you can safely assume that you will get what is owing to you. And that is also true in spiritual life. If God grants the meek a legal right to enter into the land, then they may rest assured that they will receive it. God will not change his mind. What God promises, he will also grant. Thirdly, this word inherit implies they have done nothing to deserve it. When you inherit something, you simply receive it. That's also true here. The meek will inherit the earth. They won't have to work for it. They will not have to seize it or take it by force. They will not have to bargain for it. They will simply receive it. It will be granted to them out of mere and sovereign grace. Now, this promise has a present dimension. The meek will inherit the earth right now. So that whatever we see around us, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans, the towns, the cities, and the villages, it's all ours. Paul expresses this in various passages throughout his epistles. For example, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Although Paul had very little in the way of material possessions, he spoke of himself as possessing all things. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 to 23, he wrote this, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Commenting on these verses, one writer says this. He says, with such a spirit I can cross the Alps, gaze upon the Bay of Naples, visit a museum, attend a concert, listen to the teaching of the Bible, or do anything else, and I can know that these things are mine as much as they are anyone's. And I can thank God for the people who maintain them for me. But this promise has a future dimension as well. For the day is coming when God's people will take possession of this earth in a way that they do not possess it now. This will occur, of course, after the day of judgment, when Christ shall make a new heaven and a new earth, and he shall reign together with all of his people for an everlasting eternity. Now, this is what Jesus means when he says the meek shall inherit the earth. He means they will inherit heaven itself, or more properly, the new heaven and the new earth. You'll notice they will not have to conquer it themselves. It will be given to them. They will inherit it. Not because they have earned it, for they haven't, but only because of Christ. Christ became the rightful Lord of the earth and everything in it as a reward for his atoning work. And by virtue of their union with him, believers are joint heirs with him, so that whatever he receives, they receive in him. Oh, do you see what a rich blessing it is to be meek? The meek are despised by the world. They are regarded as weak. Nevertheless, the world says they will never amount to anything, but Jesus says no. The meek will inherit the earth. Therefore, child of God, let the world say what it wants to say. Cling to the words of Jesus. Do not be ashamed of meekness, but pursue it with all of your might. For Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen.